Coming up on this first gathering of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, we elect officers, discuss the new comic book movies coming out in 2013, the reasons why Star Trek should be back on TV, why you should be excited for New Walking Dead, and a Doctor Who Series 8 spoiler. Plus, we're joined by video production guru, author, and podcaster Bill Meeks. It's all next.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine? What about the DeLorean?
Exterminate.
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
All right, welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club number one. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me tonight are regular hosts, Brad Ludwig, Anessa Moyens, and Matt Stein. And we want to welcome our guest geek, Mr. Bill Meeks. Hey, Bill.
Hello. How's it going, Dave?
Good. Well, for people that don't know who you are, tell us where you're from and what you do.
I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I do a lot of stuff. I refer to myself as a general maker of stuff. I do a lot of video work. Most people, if they know me, they probably know me from my video work. But I also, I do other stuff. I play music. I do a little writing here and there. You can find all of that, and I'll say it right up here at the top, at MeeksMixMedia.com. Also, and there's a lot of, like, free stuff there, like free music, font packs, stuff like that. So.
Okay. Your videos are outstanding. I've seen a lot of good ones. And you're an author. Don't forget that.
Yes.
You have a book series now, right?
I do. Oh, nice. Dog Boy Adventures. Right there.
That is so awesome.
The new one just came in today.
That is so
Danger
awesome.
Danger on Liberty Pier.
Nice.
And then
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, basically, Dog Boy is a Bronson Black, a 13-year-old superhero who uses both Harry Houdini and Harry Potter kind of magic to fight crime. That's the basic premise of it. But, I do have to say, in promotion of the last Dog Boy book, Dog Boy Den of Thieves, Dave recorded a wonderful little voiceover for me that I used in a couple of videos and advertising in my podcast and stuff. And I don't know, every video I've ever used Dave's voiceover for has just turned out gangbusters. So.
Thanks, man. I can
see Dave's head getting bigger from here.
Yeah, so we better stop. let's talk. You have a podcast too, right?
Yeah. It's basically a fan podcast for the ABC show Once Upon a Time that I co-host with Anne-Marie Desimone. It's called Greetings from Storybrooke. It's a lot of fun. We're on hiatus right now, so it's kind of every couple weeks we get together and just find something to talk about, whether it's just reading lists or emails or whatever. But once we're in the show, and we're doing two episodes a week because they have the spinoff Once Upon a Time in Wonderland now.
Yep.
So, in an hour and some change per episode of television talking about it, which is much longer than the actual episodes, oddly.
All right, so let's get into the show. I did the call to order. This is a club, so we are going according to club protocol here. We did the introduction of the guests, and normally we would have read the minutes from the last meeting, but this is the first meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. So let's move on to new business, and since this is a club, we have to elect officers. Did you guys know that? We had to get officers.
What?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So normally in clubs we have the president, the vice president, the secretary, and treasurer, but I thought that we could spice it up a little bit and come up with some more interesting names. So how are these grab you? Supreme leader. You guys like that?
Yep.
Yeah, it's okay.
Slightly pretentious, but we'll run with
okay.
it.
Okay. emperor. Okay. Emperor. Chancellor and Viceroy. So the Supreme Leader would be President. I'm thinking the Emperor would be Vice President. Chancellor, Secretary, and Viceroy would be Secretary. So just before you guys pick your whatever you want to be, I'm going to give myself Supreme Leader because, I came up with this podcast. So I'm going to elect myself Supreme Leader, but who wants to be Emperor?
I elect Matt.
Oh, what? As long as being emperor means I can still drink during the shows and generally give you guys all our time, I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so emperor is vice president, and normally vice presidents don't do much, so that's perfect for you, man.
Yep, that's me.
All right. I mean, look at Biden. He just sits there and grins, so.
He looks good doing it, though.
Yeah, I know.
I think, I don't know. Nice, I don't even know what he looks
classy.
Like.
Classy.
Yeah, nice and tan, doing that whole kind of thing. So, who wants to be chancellor?
I ride the train.
Chancellor, Anessa, or Brad?
I'll be chancellor.
Okay.
Oh, his handwriting's terrible.
So I need to write these down.
I loathe meeting notes, so
Matt,
no.
let's see. Brad and Anessa. So, chancellor, Brad, you need to take notes.
I'm going to cheat.
Well, your notes are already taken for you, basically, because...
I know!
Yes! Exactly. Show notes. They're already taken, so done and
yep.
Done. Okay. So, let's move on to new business, and the new business means the sci-fi news from the week, and Super Bowl. Which one was it on Sunday? What number was it?
48.
Oh, love the...
Is it 48?
You know,
oh,
this 48? Is where I shine because
LXVIII.
Yeah, because Matt is the only real non-geek here. Matt is like the rest of us are like sports ball. What's that? But Matt actually kind of knows like normal stuff, sort of. So
for the most part,
normie. You darn normie.
Yeah.
How, and I just illustrated how much of a geek I am because you said, Dave said, well, this is where Matt shines. And Matt's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, LXVIII. I spit out the Roman numerals because I know how to do 48 in Roman numerals. But Matt actually meant, you know, the football game itself.
So it's 48.
Yeah.
It was Super Bowl 48.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. So there was a.
I've
movies.
I've kissed a girl. I know, right?
All right, so there was three movies that premiered their trailers that I know of. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Captain America Winter Soldier, and Transformers Age of Extinction. So what did you guys think? Did you catch those during the game? Or afterwards?
I haven't seen the Transformers one, but I really loved the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer. It just looks so... kind of cartoony, which is good for a really good fit for Spider-Man. And I don't know, I kind of like the whole kind of mythology building thing they're doing with what it looks like they're doing with the Osborn clan too, which is interesting.
Yeah, there's a real different take on this Spider-Man as opposed to the last movie Spider-Man, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't know, I liked it overall. At first, it you know, from the outside of the first movie, it appeared like it was going to be, like, this really dark, like, Dark Knight Spider-Man or whatever. But no, it was really funny, and what's his name? Andrew Garfield was really funny in the suit, too, which, as much as I love the Tobey Maguire movies, was something I thought was really lacking, was Spider-Man's sense of humor, because I think, you know, in, like, Amazing Spider-Man 1 or 2, they show him like sitting down in his basement watching Don Rickles routines to kind of learn how to be a smart aleck. And, it, you know, that just wasn't in the Raimi films, but they really pulled it out for Amazing Spider-Man 1, and it looks like 2 is going to be even more so, especially with, like, the weird, awkward run-ins with Aunt May almost finding his suit and things like that. So it looks fun.
So Matt, Brad... Anessa, Bill, what do you guys are you worried that there are too many bad guys in this new Spider-Man movie?
Has Joel Schumacher taught us nothing?
See, I'm kind of the opposite opinion. I think, you know, the more the merrier. I would like to see a superhero movie come out there that had, like, 40 villains in it. That, like, there's one big villain. Like, you know, maybe like a Nightfall or something, if you remember that Batman story. From back in the 90s where, you know, Arkham Asylum busts open and he has to take down all of his greatest villains in one night. I would love a movie like that. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm so familiar with the characters, but I never really feel that sense of fatigue when it comes to multiple heroes. I did think Spider-Man 3 had one villain too many, and that was Venom, but I just don't like Venom. So it's like...
The problem always runs into you've got a finite amount of time. You've got an hour and a half to 2 hours to tell the backstory. I mean, I being a huge comic book nerd, and you can't – I've got 6,000 comic books sitting behind me, Bill. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised I've kissed a girl. But what – you know, you've got 2 hours to get some backstory and some interest into these villains, and they just don't take the time. You've got to always – you got to pander to – you like in the case of Amazing Spider-Man here, you've got – you've got to tell more of the Peter Parker story. You've got to do him dealing with keeping a secret identity from Aunt May. You've got to deal with him and his relationship with Gwen Stacy. And now you've got to introduce – we're introducing Harry Osborn. Mm-hmm. We're introducing Electro, Max Dillon, and we're introducing Rhino, who's going to be showing up.
And Norman.
And now they're going to have a little bit with the inventor of the spider, creator of the Spider Slayers,
Alistair Smythe. I think who was that? B.J. Novak.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, I understand that they're trying to sow some seeds, but you know, and maybe this is all out of context. But I mean, if you're just going to get brief appearances, you're going to see Doc Ock's arms, you're going to see the vulture's wings, you're going to see all these things, that's fine. But if you're going to try to do, you know, cram everything together like they did in the Batman film, where we had Poison Ivy for, you know, a brief moment, and then we had more Arnold Schwarzenegger and bat nipples than a human being can stand. So
nobody likes bat nipples, that's for sure.
No,
I love bat nipples.
I don't want to see spider nipples either. So
no, see, I think the thing is you know, a lot of superhero movies, the way they approach it is the first movie is the hero's origin story, and then every consecutive movie after that is the villain's origin story or the villain's biggest story. And there's a lot of villains in this movie. But from what I've caught from, you know, interviews, trailers, all that kind of stuff, the way they're going to approach it is this is basically – yeah, they're doing that. It's basically Electro's story, but it's also tied into Spider-Man's origins and Oscorp in general. And I think all of the villains, it seems like they're kind of going to be growing out of Oscorp. Like, I bet you Rhino is going to be like the first fight scene in the movie, and then they're going to – go away with them and move on to other stuff.
See,
and then,
but they did that with Sandman with the third one. Sandman could have been, you know, the third Tobey Maguire film. You could have had Sandman be the villain. You actually developed it enough where you were interested in him. He was a tortured character. He got kind of shafted and got these powers, blah, 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 and then his child. Yeah. And then he disappears, and then all of a sudden it's a Venom film, and it's like, what? Why?
Well, from what I've heard, that was more studio meddling than anything, because Raimi didn't even want to put Venom in it at all. And he just wanted to focus on Sandman, because, you know, he's an old Silver Age guy, right?
Sure.
So he was working his way through all the Silver Age villains. And the studios, they wanted a Venom movie because they figured it would allow them to print checks, and it kind of killed that portion of the franchise instead.
Yeah, it totally did.
All right, so let's move on from Spider-Man to Captain America. What'd you guys think of that trailer?
Yes. More, please.
Anessa, let's check in with Anessa. Do you have any thoughts on this? Did you see it? Did you like it?
Well, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I've seen the Captain America trailer for Winter Soldier, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm excited.
What was your favorite part of it? Did you have one?
Captain America.
Does your heart go pitter-patter?
He is dreamy. But no, like the thing that like about Captain America, though, is he's from a different time. And so his views on everything is not what we make of it. Because in the trailers, you have other people saying, well, in order to make things better, you have to destroy the old stuff. And build up from there, and so you have to make these changes. And he's like, there's something wrong with this picture, and so he can actually see the flaws in the way in which we think these days.
And that's
versus like his old time thing. And so I really dig that difference between Captain America and the modern day mindset. So when I say Captain America, it's not so much because he's dreamy, it's just because the way he fits into like the timeline.
And I think that's the angle that they're taking with the story too. It sounds like there's going to be a conflict between his values and the values of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is that what you guys have read into it too?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I know when they were doing the Avengers, there was talk of a scene they shot where Captain America goes to see his girlfriend from the Captain America movie, and she's, you know, old in the hospital, all that kind of stuff, and it got cut for time. And I was like, that's the interesting way to go with this character. And, you know, as everyone else has said, that appears to be the way they're going with it. It's going to be this guy out of time. Everything he's ever known is gone and dead, including his ideals. And he has to kind of reconcile that while being an effective hero and fighting the Winter Soldier.
And he didn't have time to really deal with that in the Avenger. It was said, hey, we have this big bad coming. Can you help? Kind of thing.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And well, it will be interesting to see, because the Winter Soldier looks like it's Bucky Barnes, who disappeared at the end of Captain America.
That's the rumor. Yep.
And
spoiler alert.
Well, yeah.
Actually, the Winter Soldier is actually a trivia being played by the guy who played the Mad Hatter on Once Upon a Time.
So. Oh, nice. Nice. So it'll be interesting to see you know, the Man Out of Time story, but also it'll be interesting to see how I want to know more about Robert Redford's character. It looks like he's like what the deputy director of S.H.I.E.L.D. almost.
And he's the guy supposedly that trained Samuel L. Jackson's character.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
All right. So, do you guys want to touch on Transformers at all? I know Bill didn't see the trailer for that. Did anybody else see it?
I saw the trailer for it today, and what I told one of our TAs was I don't really have any real interest in seeing Transformers because I kind of quit at the first one.
Yeah.
I quit while I was ahead from what I hear. So.
Yeah, you didn't really miss much in the next two then because Michael Bay hasn't really hasn't really added too much to that plate, to that Transformers plate, in my opinion, at least.
I liked John Turturro in the first one, but that was about the only thing that impressed me with it. So.
His character was pretty cool.
Matt, you were going to say something?
No, but I probably could. Transformers is really the only one out of the three of these I have any sort of background on, but I agree with Anessa. Like, after the first one, they all went downhill, and by the time the third one came out, I felt like I just watched it on principle. Just like, I've come this far, and I'll probably do the same thing with this one.
I'm all in. I gotta keep watching, or else I'm going to be...
keep going at this point.
Yeah, that whole sunk cost fallacy, like you put so much time in that you feel obligated, even though you're not having a good time.
Exactly.
I'm just praying that Grimlock doesn't suck, because Grimlock is my favorite Transformer.
I like Grimlock.
Which one's Grimlock? Has he been in the first three movies, or is he new?
No.
No.
He's a Dinobot. He's the Optimus Prime, Grimlock.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the Optimus Prime essentially of the Dinobots.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know anything about Transformers. Like that was right after me. That was right after I got to a certain age where I stopped watching cartoons. So
see, I watched the original, but I never got into, like, the whole Beast Wars and, you know, all the various spin-offs they had. But I guess the continuity is just, like, very, very dense. Like, even more so than, like, you know, something I know a lot about, like, DC Comics or something. It's, like, incredibly dense in so many variations, but they all fit together somehow.
I was more of a Voltron and what was the one, the big ship that Earth discovered? The aliens left behind. What was that called? Somebody help me out. Brad?
I don't know.
Robotech. Yeah. I was more of a Robotech guy. All right, so I know in the doc we were going from that to Star Trek, but I think we should segue into the Man of Steel casting of Jesse Eisenberg and Jeffrey Irons. I know, Bill, you're the world's biggest Superman fan, so what do you think of this casting?
I like it. I like it. I think, obviously a lot of people have been making the Social Network comparison as far as, like, the type of character that Lex Luthor is. And, I can totally see that. But I think it's good. Like, my initial impression was, wow, he's so much younger than Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman, right? Turns out they're the same age, and they're both younger than me. And wow. That really chases me off.
Yeah, it does.
It's the first, because I didn't realize that when I saw Man of Steel, but it's the first time Superman's been older than I am, younger than I am, rather. So it's kind of weird. But no, I really like it. Like, a lot of people are, I don't know, people like to complain for complaining's sake sometimes.
No, really? Really? People like to complain. I had no idea.
Especially on the internet, if you can believe it.
What?
It's shocking.
I think you're lying.
When did that start?
Well, I don't know, about 1986 or so. No, but I like it. I think he'll probably end up doing a good job. I'm really hoping they keep Lex bald, though, or at least make him go bald throughout the course of the story, because, you know, a lot of times it seems they try to change things up for change's sake, and Lex should be bald. And as he did in All-Star Superman, he should pencil on his eyebrows when Superman's not looking because he's so vain. I really like it. And Jeremy Irons, I don't think – although I heard some people complaining about it, but I don't think that's a very controversial choice. He's an older actor. He has the chops. He has the street cred.
He's British.
He's going to make a great Alfred.
He's British.
He's British. Yeah, that's – requirement number one of two. Second, be kind of a bad egg.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
The thing about Alfred, and Bill's in the know on that, is Alfred actually worked for the Secret Service for British intelligence. So, I mean, yeah, Alfred needs
agent.
To be a bit of a badass, too. Mm-hmm. So I think Jeremy Irons can most certainly pull that off.
Scar, right? You know, so.
Exactly.
So how do you guys feel about them bringing in a lot of characters as well? Batman, Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to let you continue after that, so.
That was very kind of you, Bill. It depends on the film they're trying to do, and I'm concerned, especially, you know, once you get to, you've got three major characters. I mean, if it were to stop at Lex Luthor, and I can already tell you right now that they are not going to give much screen time to Wonder Woman. They're just not. You've got Batman and Superman. Wonder Woman's going to show up, hi, and then she'll be done.
Well, I think it's going to be a launching pad for her own movie, right? That's going to be an introduction, a back door to her own movie.
Okay, okay. Anyways, so.
I didn't mean that way.
Yep.
Kind of with you, though. It's not a sexist thing at all. I just don't like anti-heroes, and I think Wonder Woman's kind of an anti-hero because she's, you know, a warrior kind of thing. Like, I would love for them to have Batgirl in the movie. I would love even, you know, the Oracle variation on Barbara Gordon. That would be great. Black Canary would be really cool. I'm not a big fan of Wonder Woman, but the woman they got to play her, she seems okay, right?
I mean, yeah. I guess to counter what you're saying, Wonder Woman is the most recognizable of the female characters, just shy of Supergirl.
Yeah, this is true. Thanks to Linda Carter.
Yep.
Yeah.
She has a lot to do with it.
So, I mean, if they're finally going to get off their duffs and make a Wonder Woman film, yeah, I can see them using this as a launching point, but she is not going to get much screen time. As for the anti-hero, when you look at when she was originally created, it was like pseudo-bondage time. I mean, the whole history of the creator of that guy, you know, he was a polygamist and just all sorts of crazy stuff going on there.
Probably the best version of the story of his life and, like, the weird perverse tryst he had and everything that I've ever read was in the Grant Morrison book, Super Gods. Grant Morrison, I think he was starting his Wonder Woman story, which still isn't out yet, as he was writing Super Gods, but you know, he devoted a huge section to Wonder Woman and specifically the creator, and talked about, you know, how the character kind of became bland when they took all that stuff out, because that's kind of what made the character interesting and not just, you know, a male hero of the time with long hair.
Well, maybe maybe they should bring it back in, put it back into the story.
Are you going to hit us with creepy guy voice now, Dave?
I want to see that Wonder Woman with the SNL. Yeah.
Now, I could see Diana Prince, you know, maybe dominating Bruce Wayne or something. That would be interesting. And they've been romantically linked before, although not now, obviously, because in the comics, Superman and Wonder Woman are dating now.
Yeah.
But, like, actually, the one thing that has me most worried about the movie is it was supposed to be a Man of Steel sequel, and Superman's my character, so obviously I want a big Superman movie. And the more they get into it, the more it sounds like it's going to be Justice League Part Zero, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of just setting that whole thing up, which is cool and all, but I just hope they don't lose focus on Cal, because, you know, he's what I'm going to pay four times to see it for.
Would
so
you
I hope
be,
he's well represented.
Okay, Bill, would you be happy if it was like maybe three quarters of the film was the main story of Superman, Lex Luthor, and then maybe the last quarter or one quarter of it was like the rest of them? Would you be happy with that?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, my ideal would be for, you know, the main conflict to be, well, obviously, first it's going to be Superman, Batman, and then them teaming up against Lex Luthor creating some huge threat, and then right at the end of the movie, you get Wonder Woman showing up, you get Flash showing up, you get Green Lantern showing up, and, you know, they basically, oh, it's Darkseid, oh, a boom tube opens up, to be continued in Justice League 2017 or whatever.
That'd be a huge, huge, what do you call it, what's the word I'm looking for? The
cliffhanger?
Cliffhanger. Thank you very much. Thank you. I know words. Words. I know. Okay. So let's move on from the comic books to Star Trek. I know most of us are Star Trek fans. Bill, I don't know if you are. Are you?
My Star Trek foo is not great, unfortunately.
Okay.
I watched some Next Generation and the movies.
Okay. Well, speaking of Next Generation, Ron Moore, who's most famous for, of course, Battlestar Galactica. He got a start, well, not a start, but he did a lot of years with Star Trek. He was a writer, producer on Next Generation, on Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and I believe some Star Trek Enterprise as well. And he's saying that it's basically a crime that Star Trek is not on TV because the show was made for TV. The way they're doing it in the films are all these big action, you know, the world is ending kind of stories. And Star Trek is really made for the kind of one-off, let's learn a lesson from what happened here kind of stories. So let's go around the let's go through the panel here. And what do you guys think of this? Are you in favor of a Star Trek series back on TV? Matt number one or Matt number two?
I went to mute my microphone, and it made me log back into Google, so now there's two of me.
Okay.
Nice. So anyways.
Yeah, what's your feeling?
I don't know. I watched Next Generation when I was a kid, mainly because my brother did, and I wanted to hang out with my older brother. you know, that's really it. I don't know a ton about it other than what Reddit has shown me and Next Generation memes and stuff like that, but I mean, crap. If it's done kind of in the style of the last, I haven't seen the second movie, the second reboot movie, but if it's done in the style of the first reboot movie, I would probably watch it again.
Okay.
And that's not saying a whole lot, because Next Generation to me is meh. You know, I could take it or leave it, but.
Well, there's also been a couple of stories about two possible storylines for shows that have been proposed to CBS. And one of them is kind of like a hospital ship, and I believe the other is more like a CSI Starfleet. Both very interesting.
Both very played out, though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Especially, I think, the whole crime scene thing. I think they'd be better off with, like, a hospital ship. Mm-hmm. And that's something they've never done before with Star Trek. It's always been an exploration ship, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's always been, like, the mission to, you know, catalog everything and meet up with everyone. But, like I said, I'm kind of outside of it. But it seems like Star Trek is really a show about philosophy, not really about spaceships. It's more about kind of like presenting these moral quandaries and having, you know, the different character types come to a conclusion on them. And so I don't know. That doesn't seem like it would fit very well with a procedural, like a crime drama. Although if it was called CSI Starfleet and they had like crossovers with the other CSI shows, I totally watch just for that.
It kind of sounds like it's made up. That story's made up because it's CBS, right?
I call shenanigans on that. So you know, at the end, I mean, when you look at the history of Star Trek and what Gene Roddenberry did. Essentially, he was trying to do something subversive and talk about the problems and the issues that we face today, but disguising it in science fiction. Mm-hmm. You know,
That's what a lot of science fiction writers did, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to try to now switch to a procedural, no, I mean that would get old fast. I don't see that working. You'd have to go back to talking about issues and important things that I think to stay true to Star Trek to get the older folks like myself interested in it and to be a part of it.
But
so
you know as well as we all know, they probably don't care about you watching that show. They want to aim towards the masses, so they're going to do whatever they need to do to get...
No.
You don't think so?
They will aim... Well, any smart show, and Dave will back me up on this, especially in radio, you need to target this, especially a sci-fi show. You're going to target it 25, 54 male, most likely. Or if they're going to do, you know, depending on how they do it, they're going to target that age group female. It's all about money.
One Direction shows up on the Enterprise.
Oh, God.
See?
Shoot me now.
Well, if they're going to aim it towards female, then they're probably going to go the route of the crime scene.
Because they
found that the CSI and crime shows are mostly watched by women than men. And so if they were going to go the women route, then they would end up going through the CSI Star Trek.
I have two issues. I have a question and an issue. The question is, which universe do you set it in? If you set it in the Prime universe, then you've got all that backstory. You almost have to set it after all the shows that have already been. If you set it in the Reboot universe, then you can go anywhere. So what do you guys
think
about that?
I would think it would be done in the Reboot, so that way you've got more room to play.
Yeah,
that would be the logical choice, but my experience with human beings is that everyone's kind of dumb. So they might set it in the Prime universe and just completely ruin it, and that's the way I see this going. No matter how badly I want it to be good, because it's a part of my childhood, someone quickly enough will ruin it and make me never, ever want to watch it again.
I think the only way that you don't ruin it is you don't put it on network TV. You put it on either a cable channel, like an AMC, or you go internet, totally internet, like Netflix or
Straight
Amazon
to Netflix,
Prime.
Yeah. Yep.
I think they should do, I don't know, like a contest or something where, because, you know, all these people do these really like high-end Star Trek fan films and fan series and stuff. Have like a, you know, battle or like an American Idol for the next Star Trek show.
Yes.
Have everyone do a pilot and then, you know, you vote on it and you pick the best one. Because, I mean, this is a property that's been sustained by the fans for years and years and years. Yep. When, you know, the Paramount or whoever owns it now didn't even care about it at all.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think giving them at least, you know, an idea of the direction, and then you bring in, like, you know, you fill out the room with experienced television writers, you get a good cinematographer in there, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think that would be an interesting way to go about picking the next show, would be to, you know, have every fan's, you know, big dream for Star Trek thrown up there on YouTube, and then everyone votes on it.
Well, there's a couple of really good web series. There's one that they're that's in development right now that they're proposing to CBS later on this year with some big names, like the guy that played Tuvok. I forget his name right now. But Walter Koenig's in it. A couple of minor actors that played minor characters, and it looks really, really good. And it almost looks like it's production. The production quality is as good as it could be for TV or movies. Mm-hmm. What are you laughing at?
I just got a cut of the vampire.
Oh, we got Edward in the background.
Yeah,
there he is. He's sparkling.
Sparkle fairies.
Yeah. All right, so we'll see where that story goes. Hopefully, in a good place. I want to see Star Trek on a regular basis. I love Star Trek. So, Walking Dead mid-season premiere this Sunday. Are you guys excited? I know Bill is probably excited. It's filmed in your hometown.
It is. Well, yeah, not the hometown necessarily, but probably about 20 or 30 miles south of here. Like, the thing is, I don't know what it was. Like, the last season finale, last year's season finale, for some reason, it just, like, was so completely emotionally vacant to me that I've had a bit of a hard time hooking into this season. Now, they're getting into the section of the comics, which is probably my second favorite section of the comics, when Rick and Carl leave the prison and you know, go traveling the countryside and everything. So I'm going to check back in. I'm hoping it hooks me again, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, I felt like I didn't care about anything the first half of the season at all. Almost like it was in a sort of status kind of thing. Probably because, you know, I'm a big fan of the comics too. So I had that expectation. Oh, the governor's gone. Then we should be away from the prison and going on to my favorite part of favorite storyline of the comic. But I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm not as excited as probably most other people are, though.
That mid-season cliffhanger was amazing. I thought that was even better than a lot of the season-ending episodes.
Yeah, well, that was very much much closer to how everything went down in the comics with the big fight Woodbury v. Prison. So, it was good. It just, I think it, again, it was the season as a whole kind of making me like, eh.
It's interesting how they deviate from the comic, but then they come back around again, you know?
Because
they essentially make nods to the comic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was one thing that I noticed when I first started watching The Walking Dead was, like, the first episode was a lot like the comic, and then it started to diverge, and so I had to actually separate myself from the comic and the TV series, enjoy them as two separate entities.
That's why I think this...
Otherwise, I would have, like, criticized the entire show the entire time I was watching it. That didn't happen. Carl should have done that instead.
And I think that them making the spinoff series from The Walking Dead is a good thing, because there won't be any references to the comics. So the people that actually enjoyed the comics can come back in and actually really enjoy the spinoff series.
Yeah, because that's going to be an anthology series, isn't it, where it's basically going to be telling different stories within the universe?
I believe so, yeah.
That really excites me, because there aren't very many good anthology series these days, like, you know, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, stuff like that. So to get a really cool, like, sci-fi horror-y kind of anthology series out there, I'd love. Absolutely. But sorry, you were going to say something?
Me?
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Oh, Anessa.
No, Anessa.
Okay.
No, that happens to me, like, all the time, so it's cool.
So, Brad, do you have any feedback or input on this? Do you even watch the show?
The show.
What's that?
Do you watch the show?
No. Okay. I mean, I've read the first three omnibuses, but I haven't watched the show, so.
So, Rick's daughter, what's her name?
Judith.
Yeah,
Judith.
Does she
Little Ass Kicker or whatever it is?
Yeah, does she die in the spoiler alert, does she die in the comics?
It's implied. I don't think it's shown on panel, but yeah, it's
not shown on panel, but essentially, just to spoil everything, the scene where you have the prison versus Woodbury, the governor is like, kill everybody, and this lady shoots Lori, who's carrying the baby, because Lori's still alive at that point, and they go down, and that's pretty much the end of that character.
Yeah, Lori like falls right on the baby.
Onto the baby. So you just assume that the baby's dead because it's never mentioned at any other point in the comic, really.
I just had a realization about this podcast, about the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Maybe we should make a set of rules. And the first rule is spoilers are allowed. And we should maybe, read the rules at the start of each episode so the listener is prepared for things like spoilers. You know what I mean?
Well, that, and I think if we just say that, hey, we're getting ready to spoil something, the person can fumble and hit the pause button.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, just as long as you give just a little pause when you say Rosebud's a sled and Bruce Willis was alive, or dead rather.
Rosebud.
I can't believe you said that. You spoiled that for me. All right, so let's go from one post-apocalyptic story to a new one. It's a series from Chris Carter from X-Files fame called The After. Did you guys get a chance to see this clip? Or the trailer for this?
I did get a chance to see the clip.
Pretty enticing, eh?
I would have to see more, honestly.
It reminds
me. Because there's a lot of the whole post-apocalyptic thing is really big right now. So it's like I have to see more to try to pull me in just because there's so many different options, whether it's because of some sort of outbreak or zombie thing. Aliens, I don't know, post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, I get
really
what you're saying.
Now.
I get what you're saying, and I wanted to say that this reminds me very much of Cloverfield just by them not showing or not revealing anything, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just watching it now, but it kind of almost feels like like you said, there's a lot of post-apocalyptic stuff out there right now. Like Revolution 2 is one that I heard was just very disappointing.
It got bad and then it got good again. I actually left the series for a while and I came back. It's pretty good again, actually.
I always wanted to check it out just because it had a Giancarlo Esposito in it. He's like the main villain, isn't he? Gus from Breaking Bad.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm not a Breaking Bad person, so have to fill in the gaps. Brad, Matt, and Nessa.
I don't know. I saw him riding a horse in a commercial for it, looking really mean. I figured he was the villain. I'm probably
if he's the main villain, and I don't think it's the same guy I'm thinking of, because there was the villain from the first season, and that was the guy who played a doctor on ER. He's an Australian actor, I believe. But he plays an American in Revolution. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyways, this series looks pretty awesome, at least from the little bit they showed in this trailer. And I'm more excited because it's a Chris Carter joint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would watch the pilot just to see how it is, simply because of Chris Carter. And I was really huge of the X-Files.
Yep.
This is Amazon Studios too, right? So this is for Amazon Prime Video.
Yep.
Right. They just to slightly diverge. A guy that I've been he's been kind of like a not like a mentor, as in I call him up to talk to him about my problems or something, but a mentor, as in I look to him and take his advice to heart when it comes to crafting story for probably 7 or 8 years now. David, and I know I'm not going to pronounce it wrong, Angzoris, I think. He has a pilot up on Amazon that just came out today called Gordimer Gibbon's Life on Normal Street. And it's basically a cross between Erie, Indiana and The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Really, really good stuff. I highly recommend.
Well, that's
definitely
that's totally up Brad's alley. Brad's into those kind of shows, right? those kind of quirky, weird, like offbeat sort of stories.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Fringe and crap. No, I can't. What was the one with
the thing with the place
pushing
and the people?
Up daisies.
Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, Pushing Daisies.
You were a fan of Eureka too, right? You liked Eureka?
Yes, big time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's very much in the vein of those shows. If you ever saw Erie, Indiana on NBC back in the day, basically the structure was these two kids would find weird stuff going on in their town and go investigate it and never come up with a clear answer. Gordimer Gibbons' Life on Normal Street follows that same basic structure, but it's kind of wrapped in the kind of humor you saw on Pete and Pete, kind of like the quirky, like, kids walking around in beach shoes without socks and getting, their shoes filled with sweat, and, you know, the little toddler brother always likes to stick stuff in his older brother's pocket. It's really good. I'm not doing it justice, but it just came out today.
Can you?
I would definitely.
We'll have to give that a look.
Yeah, are they doing that? Are they doing the whole watch the first episode free deal with that as well?
I think so. Right now, they haven't produced a whole series yet. They've just done the pilot. Okay. It was part of a. I don't know if you guys remember, like a year and a half ago, Amazon.
The competition, right? Well,
yeah, exactly. And David wrote a pilot, the pilot for Gordimer, and submitted it, and they ended up making it. I mean, he's been living out in L.A. for years, trying to get something going on as far as the screenwriting. Mainly, he's just been doing teaching, but so he just submitted the script, and they liked it, and they made it. And hopefully, if enough people watch it and like it and rate it and fill out the survey, they'll make more of them. I hope they do, because it's really, really good.
I'm really sensing a theme to this podcast. It's like everything's going back to the whole competition, like vote for your favorite thing, because that's what they did with Amazon. They could do that with the Star Trek series. Let's just do it strictly for Star Trek on Amazon. I think that's brilliant. All right.
I'll make a call to Jeff Bezos tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, because you're best friends with him, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to go out and get drunk all the time back in the day.
Good to know.
Cool. They're totes BFFs.
All right, so let's. Brad's got to get out of here, so let's do one more story real quick. I want to touch on this just briefly, and there are spoilers in this, so I know that you guys are all, except for maybe Matt, Doctor Who fans, right? You're all Doctor Who fans?
Yes.
For the audio listeners, they're all nodding their head. People, this is an audio podcast as well, so use your mouth and your voice to say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then for anyone listening, I have a blank stare on my face for a lot of us.
See, Matt's here for a reason. He is like the kid in the back of the room in the class. He's going to make fun of us nerds for all the nerdy things.
He's our cubby.
Yes.
You know, I've been doing a lot more sci-fi stuff, but it's like reliving my childhood and sci-fi video games and things like that. So. At some point, I'll pull those out of my back pocket and dazzle the audience.
And your knowledge of weird beers, too. That's always
weird bad. Beers and sports numbers.
Yes.
Yes.
48.
48.
So, spoilers for Doctor Who. It looks like one of the villains in an episode in Season 8 is going to be Jack the Ripper. Or at least we think so.
Ooh, see, I would watch that.
It's a Jack. Sounds... Go ahead, Bill.
Oh no, I was just going to say that sounds interesting. It's weird though, because I believe an episode of the old series did Jack the Ripper, and I know the IDW comics that have been coming out the past few years. I know they did a big Jack the Ripper story too, but you know it hasn't been approached in New Who before. So I say let them go for it.
Yeah, and the picture they showed in this article, it's not a normal Jack the Ripper. He looks like a cyborg. He's got some mechanical pieces on him. So,
yeah, and it looks like they have tracking markers on his top hat there too. So there's probably something going on there. Maybe they're going to give him a fake head or something like that.
Yeah, so it might be we might be getting an origin story for Jack the Ripper. He wasn't human after all, you know.
He really was a monster.
Yeah.
And then his parents died in Crime Alley. And
there you go.
He went in a completely different direction than Batman.
So I think, Brad, you got to get out of here pretty soon, right?
The other show starts at 9:30 in about 8 minutes.
So. Okay. All right. So we'll try to wrap it up here. Are you guys really as mad as I am for having to wait for so long for new Doctor Who? Is it driving you crazy as much as it's driving me crazy?
Honestly, there's so much stuff that I have to watch between now and new Doctor, or like the new episodes of Doctor Who, that I'm not like angered by it. So, I mean, I've started watching Arrow, so I'm on the first season of Arrow. I recently discovered and got Brad into Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Miss what's her name?
Yeah, Miss what's her name? And that is, it's totally not sci-fi, but it's basically a detective show. Kind of makes me think a little bit of Sherlock Holmes and the Attitude, but Miss Fisher is a flapper chick in the 1920s solving crimes.
Oh, cool.
It's an Australian show, and I recommend it. And I ended up getting into The Following, so I'm on season one of that, and then just catching up on other shows that people have told me that I need to watch. So I have so much on my list of things to watch.
Yeah, there's no lack of...
to take up the time between now and Doctor Who.
Yeah, there's really no lack of stuff that you can take into your senses these days, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know I'm a little disappointed that we have to wait so long, but I'm really glad that they're not going to be taking, you know, a big break and splitting it out into 2 8-episode half seasons or whatever. They're just going to go straight through,
yeah,
up mm-hmm. through the Christmas special, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
Okay. So that, if you guys don't have anything else you want to add, that's going to be it for this first episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. And you can learn more about our show and the other shows on the Galactic Netcast Network by going to galacticnetcasts.com. And then what you do is you put a slash on there and you add subscribe, and then you can subscribe to the podcast, or you can do it by going to iTunes. Also, leave us feedback by calling our voicemail number. It's 805-328-3966 or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can also search for us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus. All right, Bill, thank you very much for being our guest geek on this first episode. You were awesome.
Thank you. I had a great time. You guys were awesome, except for when you wouldn't let me talk. No, I'm kidding. I talked way too much.
Except for when you guys cut me off.
You didn't talk enough, Bill. You didn't talk enough.
Bill made up for the fact that a lot of this topic or these topics were just completely over my head.
I will strive to find stories that you will actually have input on there, Matt, in the future.
Oh, no. I know. I had every ability to put, you know, stories in here, too. So it's as much my fault as it is yours. And I can see Bill is shamelessly plugging his books right now, so I'll stop talking and let him do that.
I'm just reading right now. I did get these at dogboyadventures.com or the new one at bit.ly/libertypier. I don't know why I felt the need to say that, but, you know.
Why not? You should, have the opportunity.
No, I was going to ask you where people can find your fine books, and you answer my question. So there you go.
Exactly.
All right, you're also at MeeksMixMedia.com, right?
Yeah, MeeksMixMedia.com, Twitter, @BillMeeks, and Google Plus is google.com/+BillMeeks.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Anessa. And meeting adjourned. This has been the Sci-Fi Geek Club. Talk to you next week.
Fresh, yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.